Good evening, everybody. Deacon Holmes here, everyone who's just coming on. As we get ready to go into our enrichment hour, what some call Sunday school, although it won't be an hour, it'll be 30 minutes. Hopefully I can stick to that time frame. Yeah. We'll be coming from John 4, 4th chapter of John. All right, we're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and say a brief prayer before we get started. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Father, thank you right now for your grace. We thank you right now for your mercy. We thank you for your strong arm of protection that you keep around us, oh Lord God. We ask you to continue to be with us and stand by as we go through this period of the coronavirus and everything that's going on in our country, Lord God. We know that you're still denying nothing more, and you are still in control. And we still praise your name, Lord God, and you let your will be done. We ask you, Lord God, just to forgive us all of our sins and our transgression and those who sin against us. We ask you, Lord God, to be with all the students and be with me, Lord God, as we go through your word today, Lord God, and bless you, Lord God, that we not only be hearers, but doers of your holy word. We bless you, and we ask you for understanding, we ask you for discernment. We ask you to continue to bless our pastor and his family and our whole church family, Lord God, during these times. And we ask you blessings in your precious son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, again, if everyone... I heard you there, Deacon McDaniels. Welcome. If everyone would just go ahead and mute their phones, so we won't have any interruptions along the way. Again, we're coming from the fourth chapter of John this evening. It's a familiar story. And I know that a lot of times you'll read these, and one time you think you know it, but you'll pick up a different nugget here or there, a different... anointing, a different understanding, or a deeper understanding as you go forth and studying God and God's word. And you do it again and again, and like we'll go over in this lesson, it's just like a fountain that you have. It just overflowing. And you just keep going to that fountain, you keep going to that well, and the more you draw from it, the more you can draw. And it's a well that never runs dry, and you can go to it any time. So, in John 4, just as a brief statement of what this actual chapter is about, is where Jesus is making many of the Samaritans there in this city into believers. Many of the Samaritans would come be believers. And along toward the end of that chapter, he also healed a nobleman's son who was near death with a fever. So, we're going to more depth of that as we proceed. But the main portion that we can probably cover during this 30 minutes time will be the woman at the well. And I just want to start off with a quick reading, because I'm thinking the major hook of this particular chapter will be coming in those first like 15 verses to give you a good understanding of where we are going with this particular chapter. Coming from the King James Version. And this will be reported. So if I'm going a little fast, you'll be able to go back during your study time and go over it again. So starting at the fourth chapter, first verse, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink, for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, as we go forth in this first 15 verses there, I'm calling this the invitation. It's like the commercial that Jesus is giving to this Samaritan woman in terms of talking about this living water. Because as you know, Jesus had traveled all the way through Samaria on his way to Galilee. He's in this little small town. So he kind of just sat down on the well, and disciples, they left, and they went to go get some food for Jesus and them to eat. And so Jesus saw this woman there. Again, it was, they said, in the 6th hour. So it was somewhere around noon at that point in time. So it was good and hot. And so this lady had come along. Now, she came at a time in which some of the other ladies weren't there. So you need to know a little bit about these Samaritans here. You always hear about the Good Samaritans. But there's a reason why they call them the Good Samaritan. It was just one who did something that was kind of good. But a Samaritan, they were saying, is somewhat like half Jew, half Gentile. They're kind of like a half-breed. They came about after the Assyrian captivity towards the northern kingdom of Israel. And so some of them left and went back to Babylon, Syria. And so they were, they were considered like half-breed. They didn't know what they were. They were worshiping these idols. Some of them were just worshiping gods they didn't even have a real understanding of. But they had stayed behind and they got mixed up in some of the things that some of those native people were doing. They practiced idolatry and Judaism that was all mixed up with some of everything else. And we'll talk about that because Jesus even mentioned that as well. And also the Samaritans are the same people that tried to stop Nehemiah from building the wall. You know, the pastor talked about some of our studies, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, those same boys. So the Samaritans, they really weren't good people, you know. There's some of those people that you got to love them, but in a sense, you don't really like them. It's not someone that you're going to invite to your home, one you're going to want to go out to lunch just for going to lunch. You're going to have a reason for being around those people. Now, Jesus, as you've seen in these other studies, Jesus is not just for saving the Jews. He wants to save the Gentiles and everyone else around that's willing to believe in him. He wants all of us to be saved, although we know that's not everyone is not going to accept him, but the offer is out there. And so Jesus gave this commercial to this lady when he was talking about this living water, that if she, knowing who he, she would have knew who he was from the beginning, there, she would have been asking him for this water and this living water, asking him that, you know, that she may be saved, that she had a true belief in Jesus Christ. So that was the invitation that she received from Jesus, because you just can't walk up to people, and we'll guilty of that sometimes, where we'll come and just start spewing scripture on people right from the beginning, rather than getting to know that person a little bit from the front before you lay everything out on them. So Jesus gave her a parable, as you see later on in this particular lesson, as to what he was looking to do. Now, if we go a little bit further down here, I just want to get back down here to number 14. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I should give him shall never thirst. That's that living water. That's that Holy Spirit that is in us. Once we get that Holy Spirit in us, once we get that word in us,
we will never go lacking again. We can always reach down in that well. We can always reach down in our prayer time, in our read time, and we'll be able to grasp, we'll be able to call on God at any time. That Holy Spirit is with us right now. At that point in time, Jesus was there. He was Jesus with the Spirit, but he was also in human form, in man form at that time as well. But now he had left a comforter for us. So we have that same living water that he was referring to here in us that we have access to 24 hours a day. Anytime we're going through any kind of trouble, anytime we're going through any kind of weakness, we can just draw on that water. And Jesus will make everything all right. And we should never thirst again. Yes, we're going to go through some heartache and some ups, and we're going to go through some downtime. Sometimes people are going to let us down. But we know that Jesus is always going to be there. That Holy Spirit is within us. Once we accept him as our Savior, we know that we can always call upon him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. And this living water that we have, that he's left for us, is not something that we have earned or anything along those lines. We just know that he came, he died, he hung on that cross, and he died, and he was buried, and he got up just like he said he would, out of that grave on the third day, and he's living today. So that's that living water. It would never dry up. It would never go away. I know my dad's always asking me, so how do you know you're saved? He said Ephesians 2 and 8. He's always given us that scripture, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. That's why we are saved. Now, if we go into the next area here, we're going to see where she's going to accept this invitation. Right down here, when she said, the woman said to him, she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Well, she's saying that, give me this water you're talking about that I didn't even come here to get. She came there to get some water, but she didn't come there for that living water. She didn't know that she was going to meet Jesus at that time. She didn't know that her life was about to be changed at that time. So a lot of us, we go in certain circumstances, and we come to church, we come to Bible study or Sunday school, whatever the case may be, or we might just meet someone on the street. We don't know where our life is about to change. We might not know anything about that person, but we can look at them sometime and know that there's something peculiar, something different about them. But in a sense, we don't know that our life is about to change until that person gets to know us in the right way and give us the right invitation, give us the right commercial to have us want to hear more about what thus says the Lord. And so that's what happened here. When God gave her that living water statement there, it tickled her ear. So now she's wanting to hear more. So she accepted the invitation to hear more. That's what we have to do as Christians. We have to be willing to give the invitation or wait for someone to accept the invitation rather than throwing up all over them the word of God. Because she accepted it here, and Jesus is going to go again because somehow she didn't quite understand everything when he was talking about that particular living water. But at least she did accept the invitation to hear more about what was going on. So he went a little bit further in there, and he said, go, call thy husband, and come here. And then what the woman said, she said, well, I have no husband. And Jesus said it to her, you said well. He knew she didn't have no husband. He said she's had five, and the one that she's with is not even her own. So she told the truth. It's just like we got to confess our sin. When we want to come on and learn more about God, we want to come and be a believer. We want to be a Christian. We want to be a follower of Christ. First, we have to repent of our sin. We got to let know that we've done wrong in life, we've sinned in life, and we're willing to do better and sin no more. That's what she is doing here. She told the truth. Because God said the only way you want to serve him, he wants people who want to serve him in spirit and in truth, knowing who he is and why you are serving him. It's not a lot of times what we do. It's not even so important sometimes how we do what we do, but why are you doing what you do? So we need to know who God is. With those Samaritans, they were like, again, they were all confused. They were practicing idolatry and Judaism and things of that sort, all mixed up in their life. And Jesus is saying right here, if you look in verse 22, he alluded to that. He said, ye worship, ye know not what. You don't even know what you're worshiping. Some people come to church, they don't know what they're worshiping because they haven't got deeper in there. They're coming for other reasons because someone else is there. They want to check in with mom after service, let them know that they went to church. But they don't particularly know what they're actually worshiping. And so Jesus is telling him, you don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. He was saying the Jews are saved, but it's not just for the Jews in that. So we need to know what we're worshiping, why we're worshiping what we're worshiping. But the hour here is going to come. We must all have an understanding. We must all have a belief in who Jesus is and why, you know, we are worshiping Jesus. So she didn't know what he was or what he looked like, because just like they're saying the devil knows Jesus and the devil knows the Bible, or even some unsaved people, they've studied the Bible more from a historical point of view, but they have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. So they don't know the spiritual access of it. They know the word, just like a lot of the Pharisees. You know, they knew the word, but they did not practice the spirit of the law. You got to be able to practice the spirit of the law, the spirit of God's word. We just can't go by the word, because you're going to be in different situations that you're going to have to practice that word. You got to be able to know what God really wants us to do when we're dealing with God's word. And he will reveal that to you if you get deep enough in there, because she told him she knows the Messiah is coming. She knows that the Messiah is coming. But she did not know that she was talking to the Messiah. And then God, he revealed to her that he is the one. And once he did that, she went ahead. Now she was ready to go. She's ready to go and tell other people about this man who had asked her a question and knew all about her. And she went and told those other guys, and then they were wanting to get more Samaritans. They ran up there where Jesus was, and they wanted to know more about him. So it was through her passion that she had given to them. You know, they can tell that it's something that this lady, she's believing. She's like us, but it's something different about her. She really believes this in what she's telling us. She really believes that this Jesus, this guy here, is the Messiah that we've all heard that's coming. And so they wanted to go, just off of her testimony, they wanted to go and meet this Jesus and see for themselves so they can have a deeper belief. And so with us, when we go and we study God's word or we hear God's word, we got to get more in depth in God's word so that we can have a what I call a deeper belief. You might have that surface belief. A lot of people have that surface because they don't know, so well, yeah, there's something out there. There's some kind of God or maybe some kind of spirit. But I don't know if this is the right God or if this is the right spirit. And so you got to get deeper in God's word so you can have a stronger or more solid foundation in God's word so your faith will be increased. Because a lot of us know we're at different levels of faith. Everyone's at a different level of faith. Although you might have been in the church, you might have been knowing about God for some years, longer than someone else. But it's all in what are you doing to nurture that word. Are you really studying that word and praying for God to give you an understanding, discernment of that word? And are you actually living that word? And that's how you grow in faith. Because if you do something enough and you do something more in depth, there's no doubt in your mind. Because once God do something for you a couple of times, the more time God bless you and you notice that blessing and you acknowledge that blessing, your faith is growing. So you get in a certain situation, it might be bigger than the one that you were in before. So at this point in time, there's no doubt in your mind. You said, this looks insurmountable. This looks big to me. This looks huge to me. But I know God has done this before. I have no doubt that he would take me through this too. That's what they call growing and building in your faith to another level of faith. And so that's what it takes here. And so those guys came down, and once they saw Jesus for themselves, now they were ready to believe, and they wanted Jesus to stay there longer. So Jesus stayed there and had to save many more of those Samaritans during that two-day period. But he was on his way somewhere else, so he had to leave there and go to, the rest of his business. Because you know, a lot of the times when Christ was on his road, performing miracles, as he walked from place to place, a lot of times there's always somebody want to stop him along the way. And just like us, we are not trying to do God's work. We have a goal, we have a plan, we have a place that we need to go. And there's always something that's going to happen, whether it's intentional and sometimes it's not intentional, to try to throw us off course. But you got to know, sometimes you can just do a little bit and keep it moving. That's what we have to do when God has something for you to do. You don't have time to be a lot of gagging around and tearing along in the wrong places. If it's something that can be done right then, we'll do it. Other than that, we got to come back and do that later at some other appointed time. But Jesus was about the business, and he let them know that. And so after those 2 days, Jesus left, and he headed on his way back, heading back to Judea, so he could, continue on his work. But along the way, there was a common man, what they call him, a noble man, I put it that way, that had heard about Jesus was there in town. And see, he had a sick son. And so he said, well, y'all believe in this Jesus, so I'm going to go to him. So my son is dying. I want him to heal my son so my son won't die. So he went to Jesus along that way and told him he wanted him to save his son. But Jesus said that he was on his way to do something else. And he still just kept on. And Jesus said, well, your son, he's healed. Don't worry about your son now. He is healed. And he believed Jesus at that point, again, at a very, what I call, thin level or thin layer of belief. But because it wasn't until he was heading back to town and some of his other people came along from him, some of his other followers of this noble man, and they told him that his son was all right, that fever had fallen. And then he asked him, he said, well, what time did this fever fall? What time did he get better? And they told him it was around about the 6th hour. And so when he said that, he knew at that point in time that was the point in time where he was talking with Jesus, and he had given Jesus his request. He had made his request known to Jesus, and Jesus had healed him from that moment. So it's just like that today. When Jesus says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. His time might not be our time. Our time is not his time. But if he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So there's no worrying about it. When you take your prayers or you take your concerns to the altar, and you take them to the altar, you need to leave them there on the altar. If it's something that's in God's will for him to take care of, he's going to take care of it. Do you really need to continue to ask him, to take care of that issue? No, you don't. But I don't think it's a problem by if you want to continue. The next time you pray, you ask him again, okay? But you don't particularly need to do that, because if God is going to take care of a situation, or if God is going to heal you, he's going to heal you. Regardless of how many times you say it, if that is his will and you come to him in a fervent way, he's going to take care of that for you. So that's what happened here. With this man, his son was healed just off of God's word. God did not have to be there. So remember what I said before, God is a spirit. Even at that time, he had the spirit in him, although he was walking here on earth. But since he's gone and left that comforter here, that spirit is here amongst us. And so when we ask God for something, that spirit is going to make it happen on his behalf. Because Jesus is still living. That living water that we talked about at the beginning of this chapter is still flowing. That well is still full. It's never going to go down. Jesus is never going to be depleted. He's an all-time God. He's going to be there to give you anything that he feels that you need and he desires to give you. It's nothing too big for him. It's no distance that's going to be too long for him. As long as you get that water, you get that water, that living water that he mentioned to this young lady, you will always be able to draw from that well. So regardless of what other people tell you, regardless of when you run to different religions, they don't have that living water. Those idols or those people, they're dead and gone. They're still in that grave or that place where they are buried or what have you. God, you go to that grave, he's no longer there. The women told you there, and they came to say, he's no longer here. He's gone. He's risen. God is still living today. And that living water, if you accepted him as your Savior, you accepted him as the one that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, you don't have to worry about anything else. You need to continue praising him, continue worshiping him, continue thanking him for all that he's done, all he's doing, and what he's going to do for you in your life. Because this particular chapter here lets us know why we've accepted him. It wasn't for a temporary stand. It's not for something that we're going to get today and make us feel good today, and tomorrow we got to start all over again and try to go to God and have him to come back into our life. Once we accept him, we have salvation. We have it. We just need to continue to go. And he said, go and sin no more. And then we know we're in sin. We live in a world of sin here. So we know every now and then we're going to sin, whether it's commission or omission or what have you. But we got to pray daily. He said, pray without ceasing. It don't have to be long, drawn-out prayers. But God, once you're saved, you're saved. You just got to keep your hand on the plow and know that when you get weak, just take another drink of that living water. When you're in pain, just take another drink of that living water. When you feel like you're all by yourself and you're all alone, you just take another drink of that living water because that well is in there, and it's never going to run dry. We just continue doing things that God wants us to do, and we keep continuing to build our faith in him from day to day, from level to level, from height to height. That's where it goes. You don't want to stay at the same as you began when you first came on and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you first come on, any little contrary wind can blow you away because your faith is not strong enough at that point in time. Because you came, you know, it could have been you believe he was the Christ, you believe that he came, he died, and he's living, but you run against something that's a little tough. Then you start doubting because time sometimes is not on our side. Now, we're a microwave generation right now. And so we get in a situation, if we don't get out of it in a day, sometimes in a few hours or what have you, we start doubting, saying, I don't know about this Jesus thing. But if you continue to study God's word and realize that you have that living water, you got to realize you have it. You got to know you have it in order to draw from it. So you got to know and realize that you have this living water in you. So when you run against those circumstances in life, when you run against those issues in life, when you run against those hard times in life, we know that whence cometh our help. It cometh from the Lord. We know we have a source that we can draw from. When you're out there in that desert, when things get a little dry, you know you can get some water for them. You don't have to worry about no mirages out there and those fake things that you see. You know you got something that's real. You got something that you can feel. You can feel that living water because it's flowing through you. You can feel it if you are really true and you're worshiping God in spirit and you're worshiping God in truth. That's what this particular chapter is all about. That's what he was getting over to the Samaritans, and he was getting over to his disciples because they thought it was strange that he was talking to this Samaritan woman. They didn't say anything about it, but a lot of times you can tell by the expression on people's face what they're thinking. Your face, facial expression can give you away a lot of the time. So we got to be careful on how facial expression is when we're dealing with people, okay, especially people who may be a little weak in the faith. You want to stay with a positive attitude and a positive look on life as we go through this time here on earth and realize that the living water is still within us. That living water will still cleanse us. That living water will still flourish and it will quench our thirst Whatever we're going through, it is a healing water as well as a living water. Christ lives. Christ gives. Christ sees everything that we do. He's willing to be there for us and take us through those hard days. He's going to take us through those tough times. We just realize that the living water is within us, and all we have to do is draw from it and drink it, and everything will be all right in God's time. So that's the lesson for today. John 4, read it at your own time and realize that those two stories in there that Jesus did as he walked amongst the Samaritans that no one else wanted to do, the half-breed people that no one wants to be around, but they still also need to have access to everlasting life. So be blessed, be kept, and we'll see you the next time. God bless you, and have a great day.